Yes, yes, why don't you? And a very good evening to one and all. The show is HackerMind. This is your host, Screamer Chaotix, and I hope that we have Dash Interrupt on the phone, do we?
To you too, my friend.
Ah, we do have Dash Interrupt on the phone. Always a good sign.
Yeah. Man, what was that?
What was what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have no idea what I'm talking about?
No.
All the talking, man.
Talking?
It was crazy.
Are you telling me you heard voices?
Yeah, I heard voices.
Uh-oh, Dash is hearing voices. That's not good.
Was it just me?
It was just you, Dash. No one else heard them.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. But, it doesn't explain the other 99% of the times you hear voices.
They were telling me to do things.
Bad things.
Bad things.
Very bad things. IRC.2600.net channel HackerMind is the place where you can go to talk to your fellow listeners. So why don't you do that?
Yeah, I'm in that. But I'm not.
Just
reading.
Go. Just shoot. Go there now. I'll tell you what. Here, I'm going to make this really simple. I'm going to go there right now.
You're going to go there right now? Well, I'm in there, so you want to talk in there during the show?
No, well, we'll see what happens, but I'm just gonna pop in, see if I got my name back.
Yeah, well, no, I think you do have your name back.
Well, you know, the listeners don't know that, so.
Well, I think you do.
Oh, I know I do, but, you know, they don't.
Yeah, they don't, but now they do.
All right, now I'm coming in, and I'm going to show everybody how this is done. This is how you join the chat. It's really simple.
Do it. Roll up in there like you own the place.
There you go.
Ooh.
A lot of people
nicely
in there.
Done.
Is that Alex Casper? No, probably not. All right. So I'm in the chat. Don't talk to me, though, because I'm not looking at that. I'm doing a show, for crying out loud.
Yeah, me too. I'm not looking at this.
What? Damn. People think just because I'm in there, I'm chatting. That's not how IRC works. You go in there.
You go in there and you sit there and don't say anything.
Right. You sit there all day.
For hours on end.
And then
you finally just quit.
Right. Exactly. Or you sit there and then you see how many people actually came in and messaged you while you weren't there.
Yeah.
You know, all you got to do is a little whois, and you can find out that people have been gone for about 15 hours.
Yeah.
What's the longest you've ever seen someone be idle?
Probably days.
Oh, hell yeah. I've seen people... I think the most was... I think I saw 7 days once, which really isn't that much for IRC, because people camp there.
It's a week, my friend.
Yeah, I don't know
if I've seen 7 days, but I've seen days.
Well, I think I've seen... The administrator of some server sitting there for about 7 days, which is understandable, I suppose. He doesn't want to talk on his own server. And, well, I guess that's really not that weird.
We're not talking about bots here or anything. We're talking about actual people.
Oh, yeah, people.
Bots don't count. Bots don't count. They never say anything.
Egg drop crap or whatever it is.
But you want to talk to them, but it doesn't... The fun in that doesn't last very long.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what, Dash?
What?
When you talk to those people, they're not listening because they're not there. But you never know who is listening.
Sure I do.
No, you don't. You ever talk to someone on the phone? How do you know that someone isn't listening to your call?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Or you join one of those phone conferences. You know those crazy little conference call thingies that they have?
Yeah, but I try not to say anything incriminating on the phone.
Well, I would hope you wouldn't have anything incriminating to say.
Well... Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, for example, we got, a number off the top of my head, 305-503-6666, extension 947. Well, that would be the HackerMind con line.
Mm-hmm.
And, geez, wouldn't that be funny if we called it tonight? That'd be pretty funny.
Why would that be funny?
Well... You never know. We might call it. We might not.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I see where you're going with this.
You know, people will be waiting in there and waiting and waiting and waiting.
We might call that.
We might, you know, but we won't tell anybody we're dialing it. We'll call something. We call a lot of things.
We do call a lot of things.
You know, maybe we'll say, okay, we're calling the con line now, but we call AT&T.
Ooh, we are known to do that.
Or we could say that we're calling AT&T, but we're really calling the comm line, so you never know.
Never know. That's the point.
Maybe we won't call it at all. Maybe we'll call it next week, just so people expect it this week, but next week is the real week.
Yeah.
It's craziness. It's madness. Right, Dash? Give us a madness.
Madness.
Now, you see, that was half-assed. You gotta get into it, Dash.
Sorry, I can't do it on command. I gotta, like, build up to it.
All right, all right. You got the next 30 seconds to build.
Okay.
All right, time's up.
No, I need more time.
All right, well, Dash, this is radio, man. This ain't TV. They can't see nothing. We got dead air going here.
All right, dead air, cool.
All right, no. See, oh, Dash, you just killed it.
Madness.
See, there you go. I knew you had it in you.
Is that better?
Yeah, that was much better. Okay, yeah, like I said, the show is HackerMind.
Yeah, it is.
And that's we should probably get to the whole hacker part of it. You know, we seem to be doing a lot of goofing off. We want to save that for Han 2.
We do goof off sometimes, but there's nothing wrong with a little goofing off.
The second.
There's nothing wrong with goofing off.
HackerMind, all-nighter.
Yeah.
July 10th, 2002.
I call it Han. You know, it's the same. It's you can call it anything you want. It's just, it is what it is.
It's HAN2. We can't dispute that.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
historical. It's going to be. People are going to talk about it from then until, like, you know, maybe a couple days later.
A couple days later, huh, Nash?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, people will be so drunk the next morning they won't even remember that they listened to it.
Exactly.
They'll come to their computer and be, "Oh man, I missed it. Oh God, I gotta download it."
Dude, will we have it for download?
We have the first one for download.
Yes, we do.
So we should have the second one for download.
We should, but you know us.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
You never know with us.
Because if we don't put it up for download, then that guarantees that more people will be there.
True.
But, you know, still, there are people that can't make it and they have legitimate reasons. So, yeah, we'll have it for download. We're going to have the video and, we're going to have two types of video. We're going to have the actual video of us making the Han.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the live video stream, which we still have to figure out. So that's not a guarantee. But we will have video in one way or one form or another. So we're not lying to you in that little advertisement.
Yeah. We don't do that.
Oh, what, we don't lie?
Well, we do, but we try not to lie to our listeners too much.
Yeah, because, you know, lying, especially when you lie just to bring people to the show, it's really dirty pool, you know, it's sickening.
I'm dying here, yeah.
By the way, did you hear we have Kevin Mitnick on the show next week?
Well, do we?
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, we do. All right, now, let's see here, moving on,
Are you gonna? You never explained about the talk thing.
Dash. If we explain the talk thing now, everybody's gonna say, okay, well, that's the cool thing for this episode. I'm going to the happy hour, even though it's not happy hour.
You're going. I see where. Okay, I thought.
You just gotta save that stuff. People are wondering, what the hell was that? Hey, I mean, it's probably a phone conference, but what are these crazy guys gonna do with people in a phone conference? I mean, how are they going to use their pathetic hacker abilities to do something to these people?
I brought it up. Moving on, like you said.
They want to know, but they got to wait, and they got to wait to find out, you know? That's the mystery of HackerMind.
Okay, yeah, we have a mystery. We're an enigma.
But, it's good that we have this this whole argument thing going on here, because that boosts our ratings.
Does it?
Well, we don't have ratings, but if we did, they would be boosting.
Yeah, we don't have any ratings.
Okay, now, I'm trying to figure out exactly what is the most important thing to do right now, and I think maybe this isn't the most important thing, but it's definitely pretty damn ironic, so I'm going to go and report some news here, but listen, you're going to like this one. Call it a case of do what we say, not what we do. Hardcore geek publishing house O'Reilly and Associates recently exposed their database of approximately 100,000 online customers to outsiders, courtesy of a web coding slip-up that their techie customer base might scoff at. Yeah, O'Reilly, the people that make all those famous books about securing yourself online, securing your internet servers and all that.
Don't they make those In a Nutshell books?
Is that O'Reilly?
Yeah, I think it is. No, wait, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, I don't want to say anything because I'm not certain.
Yeah.
O'Reilly's main website, as well as connected sites like Perl.com and XML.com, offer visitors free password-protected accounts for posting comments and subscribing to the publisher's email lists. Until Monday, clicking on a link for reviewing and changing your user profile would land you at a URL of the form OReillyNet.com/cs/user/edit/u/a-big-ass-number. It turns out that the number at the end is a sequentially assigned user ID, and by simply substituting other numbers, one could browse or modify other people's profiles. The profiles include full name and email addresses, and more rarely, physical mailing address, employer, title, and phone number. Now, there's no credit card numbers or purchase histories that are revealed through this, but this is the publisher of such titles as Computer Security Basics and Web Security, Privacy, and Commerce, as well as the standard text on Perl and CGI programming.
So they fixed it, though, right?
Well, now I'm going to have to scroll down. I love the whole...
You just put in that URL and change one number, probably.
Yeah, well, you know what? Go to Perl.com or O'Reilly's main website, OReillyNet.com, and /cs/user/edit/U, and then...
Well, I think they fixed it, though.
Five-digit number. Well, if they didn't, you can go ahead and find out about it.
Oh, they fixed it, I think, because I read that article. I'm trying to remember.
Well, then why are you asking me, Dash? Why are you making
things
difficult?
I'm trying to remember. That's why I wanted you to double-check, but I think they fixed it.
Well, I don't have time to double-check.
That's like the very bottom of the article.
Yeah, that would require actually doing research and.
Well, this is kind of like kind of the same thing because it has to do well with UPS. You know, with UPS, you can put in tracking number and check, you know, when your package is going to get there, where it's been,
uh-huh.
stuff like that. Well, you know, I used to when I did have something shipped, I just like change a couple numbers around and I'd get somebody else's package information. You know.
Really.
Yeah.
So what could you learn from that?
Well, you could learn that something is being shipped to a specific person.
Oh, really? They show the address?
Yeah, they show their address.
They show their address, and all you have to...
Wait, I think they might just show... Hang on, you want me to check for you?
Yeah, give it a try.
Well, I don't really have a tracking number. Wait, maybe I do. Okay, hang on.
Is there a standard set of numbers, or like a standard... I don't want to say number of numbers.
Yeah, there's a standard, like, hang on. Let me go to UPS.
All right.
Here with my 56K modem here.
Is this UPS.com?
UPS.com. You can either enter in a tracking number that they give you, mm-hmm. or you can put in what's called a reference number, which is just like another number that's assigned to your tracking number that's shorter that you can put in. And
how much shorter? How many numbers?
Like five. I'm putting one in right now. Track. Like I said, it's not all the time, but
right.
sometimes you will get somebody else's package information. And I didn't think it was that interesting, so I haven't mentioned it before, but you know, maybe it is worth mentioning. Maybe.
Well, if it shows an address...
I'm trying to remember.
It's kind of scary.
The city and the state. I'm not sure if it shows the name or not.
Okay.
But I'm not having any luck.
So, basically, it shows where a package is going. It shows the city that it's going to.
Yeah.
Okay, but it doesn't show a name or you don't know.
No, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to check.
All right, well, we can...
I'll just keep trying and, you know, I'll get back to you.
Okay, well, we're gonna run you in the background, so...
Where am I going?
Well, we'll make you a background process. You keep doing that in the background.
All right, don't cut me off now.
No, Dash, we're not going to cut you off. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Something that I wanted to mention. You know, it always gets me when somebody calls something unhackable.
I guess anything on a background process.
Well, I'm bringing you to the foreground now. Okay. You know, the background process is you finding a five-digit number. You're a multi-processing unit, so come on back.
Hey, my friend.
Don't you just hate that?
Yeah, I do. When somebody says something is unhackable.
Yeah. So I'm sitting in class, right, and this guy named Renee, who's the teacher's assistant, comes along and says, novel netware, it's pretty much virtually unhackable.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like I said, keyword virtually.
Virtually unhackable.
And you know, it always gets me, and when I'm sitting in class and I hear this guy say, virtually unhackable, and immediately I start thinking, what if I had some sort of... EtherCap-like program running on these Windows machines. Obviously, I can't run EtherCap because it only runs on Unix-based systems or Linux or whatever. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I had some sort of sniffer, couldn't I just sniff the admin password, or am I talking out of my ass? Because I see these people, you know, they come over to different terminals and they log in as different users. You got passwords going around all over the place. Some people, you know, this is a classroom, saying, you don't need one, or, hey, what's your password? It's ridiculous. And this guy is standing here saying that it's virtually unhackable.
Yeah.
And people are tossing around passwords like they're candy. Now,
oh, you need a password? I got one. Here you go.
Hopefully, in a real environment, like a real business or something, that, you know, this doesn't happen. But I got a feeling it does.
Yeah.
I got a feeling it does. And plus, just to confirm what I suspected, I went to securityfocus.com. Yeah, there's about 6 or 7 vulnerabilities out for Novell NetWare right now.
Of course there are.
They got the teacher's biggest thing was that Novell NetWare, and I believe me, I'm not an expert. I'm going to school for it, but I don't know that much about it just yet. Novell NetWare has some sort of identification system where it can actually put a signature on each of your packets, like a form of encryption. You know, it's more like an ID. He calls it a signature. It puts it onto your packets that you send to the server, so that even if someone tries to spoof a message from your MAC address or from your IP, I suppose, it would not register on the server because the signature is not there. And that's why I started thinking, well, what if you intercept that? You know, EtherCAP is perfectly capable of screwing around with SSH1 because it basically grabs the encryption key before it even gets to the server. So, I haven't tried this out, but I got all sorts of ideas, and already there's a vulnerability on Security Focus that talks about this whole signature thing. And it's not that confusing, because here's how it works. In order for the signature to work, the person has to turn it on. It's automatically set to 1. Now, 3 is the secure signature. 1 means that it goes out in the open with no authentication whatsoever. So someone has to actually turn that on. Now, okay. So you have an administrator that goes around turning it on. But if you're going to call that virtually unhackable, and you have to rely on the admin, or you have to rely on people not spreading information, it doesn't sound like anything great.
True. Hey, I found out that what I was looking for.
All right, what you got?
If you find somebody's tracking number, it tells you what the status is, like if it's being shipped or it's delivered,
mm-hmm.
tells you when it was delivered, who it was signed by,
ooh,
the location, the city and the state, they tell you when it was shipped, and they tell you how much it weighs.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought it gave me an address, but no, it doesn't.
But it says where it was delivered.
Yep, and it says who signed for it. It actually gives the name.
I see. Wow, so you got that by just typing in 5 random numbers.
No, actually, I put in one that I already had because I got tired of trying to find one.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just telling you what it gives. If you do find one.
Oh, okay. So,
well, I could try it real quick, I guess.
Is that... Should we consider that a big security hole? What do you think?
Oh, should we?
Well, I'm asking you. What do you think?
I'm asking you. I mean, I don't know.
I think so. I think any time that you find a person's name in their location, it's a bad thing, because all you need is a name in a city, and you can get everything else from there. Suppose you have some psycho online that loves to throw darts at a phone book to decide who he wants to kill. Well, here, let me enter in a random number.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to this city to kill this guy. Not to give anybody any ideas, but that's one possibility, and I think it should be fixed. I don't want people to know where my package is going. I don't want them to know how much it weighs. Suppose your buddy is getting the package and you find out what his number is. You can find out how much it weighs. Well, what could you learn from that? Well, probably not too much.
Yeah.
Probably not too much, but okay, he might be getting you a stereo for your birthday, and it weighs, oh, look at that, it weighs 12 pounds or whatever. It's a big-ass stereo. Okay, then he did get it for me. Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Too much info is never a good thing when it's to hurt someone. Or at least, I think it hurts someone. But you can check that out over at ups.com, and you can try entering in any tracking number, and it's 5 digits, right?
Well, yeah, you can put in one that's 5 digits, but you have to put in more information, like the zip code and the country. But if you put in an actual tracking number, you can just sit there and try different numbers until you find one that works.
And how many digits is that?
Well, hang on a second, I'll tell you, my friend. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Okay, so it's a fairly large number.
18 digits, but you know, you can just change a couple of them around and might get you something. Because I know I've done it before.
Okay, well, all right. It's not the biggest security hole in the world. It's not like sending a Bloomingdale's catalog to somebody's house. He just got the summer issue. Anyway. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. What else did I want to touch upon tonight? Oh, okay. This is something, we got some viewer mail. You got some viewer mail.
Oh, yeah, I actually did get some viewer mail. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I got to get it.
Now, Dash, I told you to read that on the air.
I know, but I forgot. My bad.
Disc. And,
you're a professional here in Hackmine.
We also had one person reply to the question of the week, and from what I understand, it wasn't it the person that actually demanded that we have a question of the week?
I think it is. So, one person out there wants a question of the week.
Well, it works nicely, I suppose. Alright, Dash is getting the letter that he received. Yes, our one piece of fan mail. Don't we feel great?
Actually, gave us about 13 suggestions for a question of the week.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a minute.
I don't know, should I read this? He didn't mention anything about not reading it, so...
Well, like I've always said since the beginning of HackerMind, if you send it in, it's ours, and we might read it. So if you don't want it read, say don't read this.
It's from J-Rob.
Okay. Well, we don't have to give out his email, so...
I'm not gonna get it.
That's the one consolidation, or whatever the word is. Go ahead.
Handle. J-Rob, he says, Dash, I am a PC user for 6 months now. Before that, I was an Apple IIe user in the 80s in school. I'm only 25. 6 months ago, I booted up Windows on a PC. I didn't know what the hell anything was. It was really funny. I was looking for command prompts and didn't know what a window was. Hence, I haven't touched a computer for about 15 plus years. Thankfully, friends helped out a bit, and then I couldn't stop. I started following a paper trail of hacking documents and e-zines, found ethics and really interesting stories that were amazing. I am a newbie hacker who has read and learned so many things, but still have problems with some simple things. I am disappointed in the scene, Dash. I can't get away from hackers calling newbies lamers. They hate us for using Trojans. They think we don't thirst for the same knowledge that started them on their journey. It would be so much better if hackers would actually share the wealth of info and write better newbie guides. As far as Trojans go, instead of telling us we're lame, why don't they tell us about other methods of entry, like Telnet, FTP, and NetBIOS? I can gain remote access through some of these basic methods, but no luck with NetBIOS. Could you please give us something on the air about remotely accessing NetBIOS using Windows, or even in the Zine? It would help us out. I learned so much of what's beyond my bottlenecks, and need more info on breaking that final barrier. Anyone can scan ports and do Whois lookups, find NetBlocks, read through HTML for weakness, sniff DOS,
read through HTML for weakness?
Yeah. Read through HTML for weakness. I don't know. It's remote access is what us newbies want, and we need to learn the way without Trojans. I have learned that hacking with Windows is like two monkeys trying to fuck a football, but it will pay off. Hacking and cracking with Linux is much easier, and I'm currently learning Red Hat, but I am not giving up Windows hacking. I will teach it when I master it. Newbies need it. Linux can seem intimidating to a newbie. The way I see it is we need as many of us as possible. We will split as more computers flood our world, white hats defending black hats, providing anarchy, and all will pull together in the future to save our country, or maybe even our world. Information warfare is here, and the new generation of hackers need mentors. From J-Rom. That's it. That's the whole thing. What do you think about that?
I'm at a loss for words. I don't even know where to begin.
You don't know where to begin?
No. Where should I begin?
I don't know.
Okay, well, first of all, he wants us to explain to people how to get into machines using NetBIOS.
Yes, he wants to know how to use NetBIOS using remotely access NetBIOS using Windows.
You know, I really wish people would stop trying to do one thing. You know, everybody wants it handed to them. Everybody wants to become the greatest computer user overnight. No one ever wants to actually sit down and learn about technology and computers anymore. They just want to know how to do one thing. It's always, hey, you know, I just saw a swordfish. I want to know, how do I do this? Shut up. Don't tell me how to do anything else. I just want to know this.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry, folks. If that's all that you're interested in, if you just want one thing handed to you, or even the whole thing handed to you, you're on the wrong path. Go read books, go do whatever you want, go to a movie. But stop trying to be a hacker, because you can't just say, oh, okay, I want to be a hacker. I'm going to do what I can to become a hacker. No. If you're going to be a hacker, you're going to like this stuff already. You know, I've been playing with the phone since I was a little kid. You know, then I really wanted a computer, so then I got one. And I wanted to figure out how it worked, blah, blah, blah. We all know the story.
Yeah.
So I kept teaching myself and, you know, playing around with it. I didn't know I was becoming a hacker. I just did it. But when people...
I think it's just suggesting that we write an article about how to remotely access NetBIOS using Windows, but pretty sure there's already, you know, information about that out there.
That is the easiest damn thing in the world. If you're gonna use Windows, NetBIOS is open on most people's computers.
But basically, he's trying to say that you know, the newbies need help.
Newbies need help. Well, the worst thing, the absolute worst thing that a more experienced hacker could do is guide them, because then, when they grow up, they're going to be the people that, they're going to be the guy sitting next to me in computer class going, Mr. Summer, can you come over here? I don't know. This stupid command won't work. Well, you typed it wrong, idiot.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I'm not calling the guy that wrote in an idiot. I'm just saying, you know, people that mess up commands and ask for help because of their own stupidity. We can't have that. You know, if that will never do anything for the hacker community. We need people that are going to want to try to do this stuff. They're going to want to, you know, to actually figure this stuff out on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've covered this before, actually, many times.
Well, absolutely, but we still get people writing in about it.
We do. And I hope J-Rom is listening.
Yeah, I mean, nothing against the guy personally, of course. It's just that
He seems like a nice guy.
I don't know the guy. You know, it's just people always write in and want to know, how do I do this? How do I do that?
But there's more to his email here than just that. You know, it's
all right. Well, that's what I started with.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what should I move on to?
I don't know. Basically, I think we covered it. I think we covered it pretty good, actually.
Well, what else did he say? You have it in front of you.
Yeah.
Aside from the monkey comment.
He's just talking about how, you know. Yeah, I'm not really. I guess he wants more information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess he wants more help from, you know, hackers.
Okay, so he thinks that more experienced hackers should help the newbies instead of calling them lamers. Well, okay. First of all, I hate the word lamer. Anyway,
which word?
A lamer and newbie.
Okay,
I prefer noob.
Noob.
Just because it's so easy. Noob.
Noob.
That's not the point. The point is, he thinks that,
He says it's remote access is what those newbies want.
Well, remote access is going to get your ass in prison.
Yeah.
I have nothing against people that get remote access and that play around with computers that they don't belong in. I have nothing against that. But that will get you thrown in prison. And I'm not about to tell someone, yeah, you know what, if you go do this, You're going to be in, because they're not going to know enough about the machine once they get in to cover their butt.
Yeah, exactly.
And even if you do know a lot about the machine, there's a very good chance that the person who runs that machine knows 10 times more than you. So don't risk it, you know. Or if you do risk it, that's your thing, you know.
That's your deal.
Yeah, nothing against you. You know, we're not suddenly hating people that do that, not by any means. But I'm just saying that I can't encourage someone to go and break the law. You know, I can't encourage someone to, just leave it at break the law. So, as far as us explaining to one person how to get remote access, I think, he wants to know how to get access without using Trojans. He wants to use NetBIOS instead. Well, yeah, okay, you must be referring to personal computers.
Yeah,
now,
he wants to know how to use remotely access NetBIOS using Windows, not Linux.
Not Linux. Well, you know, I'm tempted to answer it because it's so damn easy.
Yeah, but I don't think we should get into that.
No, because we've talked about it in frequency already.
Yeah.
I wrote an article. Did I write it or somebody else? I don't know. I remember learning about it. But we have put it into frequency as far as that goes, and we have nothing against people that are learning. We have nothing against people that want to be hackers, but I mean, for your own good, a little bit of tough love, you got to do it on your own, or otherwise, you don't even have the hacker spirit to begin with, because you're asking for help. Hackers like to figure things out on their own.
I hear thee.
It's rough, and I hope there's no bad blood between me and the author, or anyone listening who might take offense to this.
Yeah, bad blood isn't good.
No, I certainly hope not, but it's hard to hear, but look, if you want to get better, you got to do it on your own. If you go to someone and ask for help, it depends on the person. You know, if you get a hacker who's been helping themselves for the past 15 years, they might look at you and say, "You got to be kidding me. I had to go through it. You go through it."
Yeah.
Or you might find someone that says, "Oh, sure, come here. Let me explain to you," because they love to do it. I'm just giving my opinion.
Yeah. But you know what I want you to do now?
Okay.
I want you to check your email.
Check my... Dash, are you sure you want me to check my email?
Yeah. Screamrun.net, check that email.
All right. If we lose the connection, it's your fault.
Oh, we're not going to lose the connection.
Okay, we're going to hear...
So paranoid.
Okay.
What was that?
That would be... Here. Damn.
Did you get some email?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
We still have to do the cool part of the show, though.
Huh?
We still have to do the cool part of the
show. We do. I just wanted to, you know, get that in there.
Okay, let me just close that. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. You want me to just play this real quick?
Yeah, I want you to play it sometime during the show, because it is...
Let me just play it. Or you could go watch it yourself, but why would we have you do that when you can just hear what's going on?
Yeah, you can just hear it.
Does it start anytime soon?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it is our fate to be here. It is our destiny. I believe this night holds for each and every one of us the very meaning of our lives. This is a war, and we are soldiers. What if tomorrow the war could be over? Isn't that worth fighting for? Isn't that worth dying for?
Okay, so what the hell was that?
Yes.
What the hell was that?
The hell was that, my friend? That was the audio to the Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions teaser trailer.
Okay, and you can get that at thematrix.com.
Oh, yes, you can, and you can watch it many, many times like I do.
Okay, now that the advertising part of the show is over, that will be out in 2003, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I hope it has something to do with hackers, because otherwise it really wouldn't fit. But I guess the whole nature of the Matrix itself deals with hackers, right?
Mm.
I mean, jacking into a computer, you know?
Yeah.
The whole phone thing, the payphone thing, it all deals with hackers.
Yeah, it does.
They all got aliases, or handles, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Okay, now...
Is it time for the question of the week thing, or are we just going to skip that?
Oh, no. Let's get the question of the week out of the way.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't have one. I just have a list here of the questions of the week. I don't know. Was I supposed to pick one of these?
I don't know, Dash. What do you want to do?
Just read them all, and then we'll pick one.
No, I don't know what you wanted to do. You brought up the question of the week. Do you want to pick one of the questions that we received from what was his name? Tuxbox. Do you want to pick one of the ones that he actually submitted, or what?
I don't know. I guess we can do that.
Okay, pick one.
Alright.
And that will be our new question of the week for this week.
Alright, new question of the week. Let me pick a good one. Let's see here. Well, I don't know. They're pretty good.
Okay, well, you think about it, Dash. You think about it, and we're going to move on to...
I got it.
Okay.
I like this one. It's pretty cool. If you had the opportunity to search the interior of any building or structure legally, what would it be?
Okay, so...
That would be pretty cool.
If you're
like, I don't know, FBI.
If you were going to search a building interior, and you can do so legally...
Yeah.
What building would you search?
That's right.
Okay.
I think it's a cool question. As long as, you know, just everybody left and you had, you know, access to anything in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's the question of the week. Thanks to Tuxbox for posting that. And, let us know what building you would look in.
Yeah.
And, I imagine a lot of people aren't going to say any public buildings.
A cool question. Well, of course not.
Okay, so let's see. You know what building I would look in?
What?
I'd look in those two towers. Where are they? The two biggest buildings in the world. What?
Your Sears Tower?
No. They're two towers that have a bridge in the middle. It was in some movie.
Oh, it was in Entrapment?
Yeah.
That's like in...
Kuala Lumpur, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that it? Kuala Lumpur?
Yeah.
I don't know. Those.
Or is that building?
Yeah, that's the building I'm going, because that looked like a cool building.
It actually does look like a cool building.
I want to go on that skybridge. Okay, let's move on here. Dash, what do you think? Let's do the fun stuff now.
All right, cool. Let's do the fun stuff.
Let's do the fun stuff. Now, we're going to give out the number, but we're going to do that after we have our fun. At the beginning of the show, you probably heard a lot of voices along with Dash. Now, fortunately, these voices weren't telling you to kill yourself, although if you had to listen to them for too long, you might be thinking that.
Yeah, man, it was really noisy.
Yeah, it's not a lot of fun. So, you know, no guarantees that this is going to work out the way we want it, because, there's a lot of people talking, and so what we're going to do might just blend into the mix, but... It should be fun nonetheless.
Hopefully they're not speaking Spanish and stuff like that.
Actually, that would be kind of cool.
They were speaking Spanish.
Now, Dash, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in an AT&T operator to the mess, to the fray, to the conference.
Sounds good.
But I'm going to need you to do it.
Okay, you want me to do it?
Okay, because you're calling me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to three-way, unless can you...
I could three-way, but it doesn't really matter.
Okay. Well, you don't have the number, though. Let me send you that real quick.
Which number?
The phone number to this conference.
Party line?
Yeah, I'm sending you the number now. Don't worry, we will give it out. We just want to make sure that no one beats us to the punch.
Give me that number. Give me that number.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Three-way.
What's that?
Is this the number?
That's the number.
You sure?
I'm positive.
All right.
Three-way to that number.
All right. Right now?
Yeah.
Alright, hang on. Let me do something here. Alright, hang on. I'll be right back.
We'll be waiting for you. Alright, so Dash is going to get this number on the phone, and we're going to join a party line, conference call, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to have some fun. Now, there's no guarantee that it's going to turn out the way we want it to. In fact, things rarely do, but...
Never be accepted on this number.
We'll see what happens.
You've reached a free and fun party line, and don't forget, if you want to talk privately, one-on-one, with people from all over the country, make sure you check out our other hot system at 1-268...
All right, Dash, I'm going to mute you for just a second.
450.
I hope you heard that.
Privately,
all right, I have it muted while they're doing their thing. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into
again,
the conference.
Again, 1-268.
Yeah, okay. Now, these guys never accept calls from operators, so hopefully the people in the line won't be expecting this.
With a weekly...
But, like I said, there's so much going on in there, do you think they'll even notice? We shall see.
Our greeting. Call now. Our live readers are waiting for you at 1-268-404-4528. That's 1.
You know, you can die of old age waiting to get into this thing.
528. And as always, with our service, your only cost is normal long-distance toll charges. Never any costly 900 numbers. Now we go live into the party line, already in progress. Have fun. Room 2. To change rooms, press the pound key.
Thank you.
AT&T.
To put
there. Please hold for operator assistance.
Hello.
AT&T, how may I help you?
How old are you?
21. AT&T, how may I help you?
21.
Fuck you, homie.
21.
Fuck you, liar.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hello.
What?
What?
What's up, girl?
What are you doing?
You want a battle?
No, I'm sorry.
All right.
No.
Bend over then. Grab your ankle.
Hello.
Let's try somebody else.
MCI WorldCom. Please hold for operator assistance.
Oh, Dash, I was trying another one. Dash, you there? You hung up on him?
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna get MCI in there.
What is that crazy guy started going off? Oh man.
Why'd you hang up? I wanted to see what MCI would do.
Sorry, I thought you were done.
Should we try it again?
You wanna try it again?
Yeah, one more time.
You gotta go through that, you know. Welcome to the party line.
Yeah, we'll get through it.
Okay, hang on.
Okay, so we just had someone cussing out an AT&T operator. I want to assure everyone that there's nothing illegal about this. We're simply
operator, no collect
calling. Oh boy, I don't like that guy anymore. We're simply dialing numbers and being a pain in the ass. But maybe this shows you that this system really isn't all that reliable, because anybody can just come into this call, including people you don't want in the call. I mean, can you imagine calling someone up in the middle of the night and pulling them into a conference line? Or, even more fun, calling a payphone, letting someone answer it, and then putting them into the fray. All sorts of possibilities. Let's see. Is this guy still going?
Weekly astrology.
Oh, yeah, he's going. All right, now, we're going to give out the number in just a second. So, we're going to give you a chance to actually call. Yes, thanks for shutting them up, Dash.
445.
We're going to give you a chance to call in and maybe spread the hacker mind love on this number.
528. And as always, with our service, your only cost is normal, applicable, long distance.
10 hours of your life.
For any costly 900 numbers. Now we go live into the party line, already in progress. Have fun. Entering room 1. To change rooms, press the pound key.
MCI WorldCom.
Good.
Please hold for operator assistance.
3473 MCI WorldCom, may I help you?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Like right now, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Just kicking. Just kicking.
Okay. MCI WorldCom, may I help you?
I'm faded.
Hello?
Kicking. Hello?
Yes.
Who's this?
Apple lied.
Where?
Apple didn't see his name right.
Shut up.
Fontana.
Yes.
How are you?
Hey there.
I am here, Dash.
I heard you bring somebody in, but I barely heard it.
Yeah, it was MCI. He said, "Who's this?" Somebody's like, "Who's this?" And then you hear some guy in the background, oh, yeah, you fucking bitch.
I missed it, man. I didn't hear it.
Well, you can listen to the replay.
I will.
Okay, so yeah, you never know who's listening on one of these conference calls. You can have anybody call in and listen. Plus,
they got some crazy people in there.
They do, man. They do. Now,
what's your name, girl?
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure you can meet some great people on there.
Oh, yeah.
It's worse than IRC. Well, the number, we highly encourage people to call up and spread the hacker mind love. The number is 310-949-1234. Once again, that number is 310-949-1234. So go ahead, give them a call. Yell that HackerMind rules, HackerMind sucks. We don't care. Just spread the HackerMind joy.
Yeah, we're trying to bring in another operator.
Or, yeah, you could do that. You could do that. Now Dash,
what's your name, girlfriend?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Dash, have you ever had that happen? Have you ever been on a conference line and actually had an operator come in and you didn't expect it?
No, actually, I never called one of those talk lines before, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's too many people in there, man.
I don't blame you.
You hear that?
I know. I don't understand why they can't just have them come in quietly, you know?
Everybody's saying, hello, you never stop.
It's crazy. All right, now, I just want to check something really quick.
Okay.
Let's just see. Not sure if it's going to work, but got to try.
There are currently no participants in this room.
Oh.
Person in, press 1. You will hear...
0.
Callers are already in the conference. Please announce yourself.
Oh, uh-oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Well, you guys had a chance to be on HackerMind, but you blew it.
You missed it. You blew it. And we're in the con line, but you're not, so...
Yeah, we're on the con line right now, so... Oh, they lost it.
Uh-oh.
I was actually expecting someone to be on there.
Hey, me too.
I was hoping. I was hoping, but nobody.
Nobody was in there.
Well, maybe next week.
Maybe.
You know, maybe we should give out a really big prize, like, ooh, the person who's on the line will receive...
No, because then there will be people online.
Yeah, but the, that's true. We can't... Well, anybody on the line, they'll receive the next issue of Frequency when it comes out. How does that sound?
Okay.
Does that sound like a good prize?
No.
I think it's a great prize.
Well, it's a good prize, but, you know, everybody's going to have that.
Yeah, but Dash, you know, you get far too technical, way too technical.
Sorry, man.
You know, you gotta stop that.
You know what, you need to call that talk line and, you know, talk to some girls, some nice girls, and, you know, you'll be right as rain.
Did you say nice girls?
Yeah.
You mean nice girls on that on the con line that we called earlier?
Yeah. On the party line. I always call it the party line.
Right.
I knew nice girl on there, you know.
Nice girl on the party line.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of them on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here. Dash, did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did hear about that, man. Did you hear about that?
You heard about the deceptive duo?
Yeah, actually I have.
Yeah, the deceptive duo hacker under house arrest, former pro Napster hacker Robert Pimpshiz Little, is revealed as one half of the mysterious deceptive duo who sentenced to house arrest for violating his no more hacking probation rules.
He's on the party line.
Martinez, California. Convicted pro Napster hacker Robert Little appeared in juvenile court here Wednesday morning and was ordered onto house arrest. I think they mean into. after violating his probation by acting as one half of the self-styled patriotic defacement team, the Deceptive Duo.
The Deceptive Duo.
The hearing followed a raid by FBI and Defense Department investigators Monday at Little's Pleasant Hill, California home, where they searched for computer equipment, passwords, and computer files which referred to the Deceptive Duo.
The Deceptive Duo.
All right. Level 3 communications, Earthlink, government, military, or municipality websites, according to the search warrant issued in the case, reviewed by Security Focus Online. Little was briefly detained and released at Monday's raid. Agents emerged with an IBM ThinkPad laptop computer, a thumbprint reader, and other items. Oh, yes, obviously the work of a criminal. Criminal mastermind.
The Deceptive Duo.
Okay. According to sources familiar with the investigation, a similar search was carried out in Florida on Sunday against the other half of the duo, allegedly a website hacker known as The Rev, a former member of the Smoked crew, responsible for defacing a New York Times website last year.
You know, I think we need to come clean about this. We need to go up there and tell them they got the wrong guys. I think it's time for us to, you know, we're the Deceptive Duo. It's me and you, man.
Now, see, Dash, that's the type of thing that is really going to get us into trouble.
Do you think so?
Probably, yeah.
No, that's not going to get us in any trouble. We're not the Deceptive Duo. People know I'm just kidding.
You'd be surprised.
Just, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
we're
okay.
The Deceptive couple of guys, you know.
You got nothing, Dash. You got nothing to say.
I was going to say the Deceptive Couple, but that sounds kind of gay.
Yeah, that's just... No. Well, you know, I was... Yeah, I may as well. Yeah, the perfect storm.
What about the perfect storm? Where did that come from?
A federal judge has sunk a lawsuit that claimed the reality-based George Clooney blockbuster The Perfect Storm portrayed several characters, including Clooney's Doom Skipper, as unprofessional, unseaworthy, and incompetent. Now, why am I mentioning this? Well, you will see. In a 12-page ruling issued Thursday in Orlando, U.S. District Court Judge Anne C. Conway said the 2000 Warner Brothers film was protected by the First Amendment. Yeah, they did spell that right. It looks so wrong. And that the studio was well within its rights to fictionalize the account of the ill-fated sword fishing boat Andrea Gale and its crew. Okay, now here's the deal. I know Dash is screaming Andrea Gale, and I'm saying Andrea.
What's the deal?
The deal is Warner Brothers made the movie.
Uh-huh.
But the family of the real people that lived through this, you know, their husbands, their family members went out onto the sea and never came back. They're suing Warner Brothers because Warner Brothers made, according to them, they made their family members look like cowards and
didn't look like cowards.
Unseaworthy sailors.
No, I'll tell you what's going on here. You want me to tell you what's going on?
No, but I have a feeling I can't stop you.
First of all, are these people stupid? This movie came out like 2 years ago.
Well, yeah.
Second of all, I'll tell you what's going on. They're getting over the, you know, they're way over the death of any family members. They want some of that money, man. This is all it's about. They want some of that money, and they just want some of that money.
All right, well.
Hey, you remember when me and you saw The Perfect Storm?
Yes, I do. Now, Warner Brothers, according to the judge, Warner Brothers is protected by the First Amendment to fictionalize whatever happened in this reality-based story.
I didn't think they looked like cowards in that, you know.
Okay, but hear what I'm saying? Warner Brothers had the right to take a real story and do with it as they pleased. See what I'm saying?
If it's not a real story, then it's fiction.
It's fiction, but it's one word. Does the word takedown mean anything to you?
Yeah.
See, that's what worries me here, because I'm a big supporter of First Amendment, but I knew they spelt amendment wrong. They spelt it amendent.
Amendent.
I'm sorry, but the article is just messed up, and I knew that word didn't look right. Anyway, they're saying that this film studio has the right to take these characters and change them around to make them look like morons for going through the storm when they should have done the safe thing, for George Clooney's character not even trying to save his crew and just going down with the ship. Now, I know, to me and you it looked like he was doing the brave thing by going down with the boat, but...
They say it's based on real events,
mm-hmm.
but of course they don't know what actually happened, so, you know, the whole movie... It's just made up. But it's based on something that actually happened.
Right. Now, what about Takedown, though? I mean,
it's based on something that actually happened, but a lot of the story is made up.
Okay, so you're saying that the events of Takedown were so well known and so well documented that they shouldn't have been fictionalized.
Well, I'm not saying that, because look at the guy who documented it, you know.
Who?
You know, Shimo, I can never say his name.
Oh, yeah, Tsutomu Shimomura.
Shimomura. What is it?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want, Dash. Shimomura, whatever.
Okay. Now, what was I saying?
You said that look at the guy that documented it.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a very credible person, and neither is, you know, John Markoff. He documented it too.
Well, do you think this is an even better question of the week in my opinion, but anyway.
Yeah, we'll have 2-8.
Well, maybe we can have two questions of the week.
We could.
Do you think that Miramax should be protected under the First Amendment for exercising their freedom of speech? Now, me personally, I don't think so, because I think they took a fictional event and they did not even get the main source. They didn't get Kevin's opinion.
Yeah.
You know, they just made it without him. They fictionalized stuff and they potentially ruined his life. Now, in the perfect storm, I feel for these people.
In the perfect storm, people were dead, but in Takedown, you know, there's actually the guy right there who was, you know, he's what the movie's about.
Well, now wait a minute. What about these dead people's names, their credibility? The family members feel that they were portrayed poorly on screen.
Well, I think this all has to go back to the book that some guy wrote about it. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, they're not going after the guy that wrote the book. They're going after the guy that wrote the screenplay. So there's a difference there. But not every question has an answer. So
yeah.
People are going to have to just think about that. You know,
they are. They're going to have to think about it.
Is it just one thing for every circumstance? Is it that the studio is always protected, or are there extenuating circumstances?
How did you read my mind? I was just thinking. Extenuating circumstances.
Such as a person being in prison.
The story is about being alive, and you didn't talk to him about what happened. Therefore, you know, you only have like half of the story.
Well, even still, I'm trying to get to the whole idea that they were defaming this person. They were ruining his chance at a fair trial by making this film. I mean, yeah, you're still defaming someone. At least the families think so. If you make the movie look like, okay, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, he's being a fool by going through the storm, blah blah blah. But I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't want to see. I don't know, Dash. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let our listeners decide that. They got their own opinions on the matter, and I'm sure we'll be hearing them. So they can get back to us. But you know what? That wraps up another edition of Hackermind.
Wrap it up nice and good and set it under the Christmas tree.
In a neat little package. But you know what? I want to point people to cybercrime.gov/cccases.html.
That is pretty interesting.
Yeah, cybercrime.gov/cc, the letters, cccases.html.
Like, could case it.
Yeah, exactly. Go check that out. Let us know what you think about it if you want. You'll see what it is when you go there. So that's it, Dash. Do you have any final words for the week?
Remember last year when we did the 1 year anniversary of Hackermind?
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, we said stuff that we were talking to ourselves.
Yeah, I know.
The future.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about how we had seen The Matrix Reloaded and it was cool, but it's not coming out until 2003. We're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, but we're just going to have to deal with that.
But I don't want to deal with that. I think, you know, they should release it before that. So, you know, just so we can, you know, still say that and it'd be true.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see what happens. But for Dash Interrupt, I'm Screamer Chaotix. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. We'll be right back. Kevin Mitnick next week.